prayer as we start. Lord, we thank you for your word that's a light to our lives and a light to our path. Open it to us now. Amen. Light of the world. We're looking at that reading from John 8, verse 12, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So, what are the brightest lights ever seen? There's lots of them. Lots of bright lights around. The first one that I was thinking of is torches. These days, torches are incredibly bright. And reading this, LED technology means that the brightest flashlight is now 53,000 lumens in turbo mode. I have no idea what a lumen is, just so you know. I just know it's very, very bright. What else is bright? Car headlights. As you're driving down the A555 at night, you can be dazzled by those really bright white lights. Anybody else suffer with this, or is it just me getting old? I'm getting a few nods. Xenon lights are very, very white, very, very bright, and very, very expensive. Some of them cost about £800 if you have to replace one headlight. I'm glad I've got a little old car with bulbs. In history, one of the brightest lights ever seen was the lighthouse at Alexandria, the Pharos Lighthouse at Alexandria. Said to be the brightest light in the ancient world. It was huge. It could be seen for many miles across the sea. It was built in the 3rd century BC, and it was around 330 feet tall. That's quite a long way up. The tower was made of 3 tapering tiers, a lower square section, central core, and at its top was a mirror which it reflected sunlight during the day, and a fire was lit at night. These days, the brightest lighthouse is the Oak Island Light. It's located in the town of Caswell Beach, near the mouth of the Cape Fear River in America. It looks south out to the Atlantic Ocean, featuring 4 2.5 million candle power aero beacon lenses. Again, a candle power could be anything, but 2.5 million is obviously a lot of them. And it emits one burst of light every 10 seconds. And it's a luminous range of 24 nautical miles. You're learning a lot. I learned a lot doing this. Scientists have now created the brightest light ever produced on Earth, shining a billion times stronger than the surface of the sun. They use this unimaginably bright beam, and they use it like an X-ray. It gives better images than traditional X-ray. Higher resolution. It might have a lot of uses in medicine. But out there in space, astronomers have detected the brightest known exploding star in the universe. It is about 570 billion times brighter than the sun and 20 times brighter than all 100 billion stars in the Milky Way put together. That's pretty bright. It's an immense supernova explosion. It was 200 more times powerful than the average supernova. Science are mystified about what could be responsible. They suspect it might come from a rapidly spinning neutron star. There are a lot of mysteries still out there in space. There's a lot of things that we don't know about. But we can learn more about Jesus, who is, and claims to be in this passage, the light of the world. So, where are we in the passage? Jesus stood up in the temple during the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He'd come to Jerusalem in secret, but got to the last day, the greatest day of the festival, and began to teach in the temple. He just said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. In the narrative, in the flow of John's gospel, the story of the woman caught in adultery interrupts the story of what's happening in the temple. Some people believe it doesn't belong there. It was just put there. It's a part of Jesus' teaching, and it's in the wrong place in the Bible. That's why it's in brackets if you're looking in your Bible. But now, the next thing Jesus says is, I am the light of the world. The feast he was at, the Feast of Tabernacles, was is the Harvest Festival. It celebrates several things over a week and a day. The fruits of the land, the saving of the Jewish people, the Israeli people in Exodus. The booths it's named after represent the tents of the people in the desert. But the nights in the festival were a celebration of light. The temple was illuminated so brightly that it could be seen 20 miles away, to the hills in Galilee and out to the Mediterranean. It was so bright that people were known to call the temple the light of the world. And the festival culminated in the celebration called the illumination of the temple. The light came from four simply enormous menorah, 7 foot, they were 70 foot high. The seven-branch candlesticks were filled with gallons of oil and burnt for hours. They were remembering the pillar of fire that had accompanied the Exodus people, showing the presence of God with his people. So the last day of the festival in the temple was associated with the promise of the Messiah, the anointed Saviour, recording the light, the glory of Israel. So it's against all this background, all this history, all this hope, that Jesus made his statement, "I am the light of the world." He was in the midst of a series of questions and challenges from the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They were probing, looking to find out what he was saying, seeing if any of his claims were making, any of the claims he was making were able to put him on trial, trying to catch him out. That's the context of the events. John, when he was writing his gospel, would expect his readers to be aware of the Jewish context, which is why he doesn't explain too much of the background to his readers or to us. In his book, this statement is one of his highly structured pattern of repeated motifs. There are seven I am statements scattered through the gospel. Things like, "I am the bread of life," "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and "I am the light of the world." Each of those seven delineates an aspect of the character of Jesus and his mission. And in this passage, Jesus is specifically referring back to parts of the Old Testament, particularly Isaiah. Remember these words in Isaiah: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." And this is part of the messianic promises, the prophecies in Isaiah. And it comes just before these very familiar words: "For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Very Christmas words, those, aren't they? It's also linked to these verses a bit later in Isaiah: "I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Jesus links his ministry to the messianic promises without overtly saying anything the Pharisees could use as a charge against him. He'd be careful not to give them the opportunity to say he's blaspheming. But why light? What is light? In John's gospel, light has a very special connotation. It's not just the ability to see and be seen. Light is good and is opposed to darkness. Remember this from the first reading: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And this, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." Light is the presence of God in the world, the presence of all that is positive and good and from the Creator God. Light overcomes darkness. Light opposes darkness. The world below is seen as a realm of darkness, and the world above is a world of light. Christ has come into the darkness to bring the light. The principles of light and darkness are in conflict with each other. Jesus is himself the light and has come that people may not remain in darkness but may have the light of life. Those who receive the light become children of light. However, in spite of the fact that light has come into the world, people still love darkness rather than light. People refuse to come to the light because they're attracted to the evil, to the dark. Whoever does the truth comes to the light, that his or her true nature may be disclosed. In John, the highest form of evil is the hatred of light, unbelief in Jesus. Incarnate in Jesus is the light of men. Excuse me. And where there is light, there is life and the perception of life. Jesus is on a rescue mission to save us from darkness. For John, the light is the positive and the good and the darkness the negative. It's the difference between known and unknown, heavenly and earthly, spirit and flesh, sight and blindness, day and night. So in saying he's the light of the world, Jesus is saying that he's the positive, the good, the true. Those who choose his way will be able to resist temptation and resist moving back into darkness. In the world, light is also the source of life. Plants use the power, the energy of light to grow. And with their growth comes life across the physical, the animal kingdom. Plants turn to the light. They follow the light as they grow. Light brings benefits to us all. Light scatters and dispels the darkness. It brings what is hidden into the open and finds what is lost. Light is useful and beneficial to us all. Jesus, proclaiming he is the light of the world, is a statement of who he is and what he brings. Power, life, and hope to us all. Later in the service, when we light the candles on our Christingles, let's remember this saying: he is the light of the world. Let us use the light as a sign of our commitment to him, to live his way, to avoid the darkness, to live our lives in the light. Let's commit to be lights in the dark world that so needs the hope of Jesus. And we say to Jesus, feed us, empower us, energize us, call us to action. Challenge us to live your way, to shun the things that bring shame, the things that are done in darkness. Call us to live the life he calls us to, lives of love and lives of service. We say, as we light those candles, Jesus, draw us to you. We put our trust and our faith in you. When he stood in the temple at the Feast of Tabernacles and said, I am the light of the world, Jesus was making a proclamation, issuing a challenge to people to live different lives. That proclamation and that challenge still ring true today. As we light the candles later, we say, Jesus, you are the light of my world. Today I choose to live your way. Amen.